Kingdom Air Corps is a mission organization that seeks to train pilots in these airplanes to be missionary pilots, not just to be another Alaskan bush pilot. Alaska's full of bush pilots, has a huge opportunities in that area. And that's our goal, isn't to train people to that type and quality of flying. Our goal is to train people who have a heart's desire to serve the Lord with their life. And so our goal here at Kingdom Air Corps is to train people either from scratch or give them further training to help them along the way to be able to go to places to share the gospel and disciple people where you can't get to otherwise.
We fly old aircraft, many of them made in the 50s or 40s, some of them. 40s, 50s, and 60s aircraft. Cessnas, Pipers, Beechcraft. And these aircraft are refurbished and built up, fixed up, and put back into full-time service. They're great. Most of them are donated by people who want to give their aircraft to mission endeavors, and they want to see their airplanes put into the Lord's work. And it thrills many donors of aircraft. We take them, we refurbish them, we overhaul the engines, we put the radios in it, and we then put them to work. And several of them we have shipped overseas in containers and put them to work in Russia and in Thailand.
We got lots of mountains like this. We've got lots of rivers, lots of swamps, and there is no real way to travel village to village other than an airplane. And so here in Alaska, the dynamic of aviation is so much different that it makes a perfect training ground for mission aviation.
Where we can train these missionary pilots in the real world of bush flying, bush missions, they can learn to operate off of short strips, gravel bars, village strips, grass. These are areas that we learn and we teach. In the wind, the weather, the mountain passes, steep mountains full of glaciers and ice and rock. It is a tremendous place to train up these missionary pilot mechanics.
Nobody's paid here in the Air Corps. It's all volunteer. The flight instructors will come out, spend time with the students, teaching them ground lessons, teaching them about the flying rules. We help people get experience. The pilots that come can have an opportunity to work in the hangar and to spend time in there to get a feel for what aviation maintenance is like.
So our mission statement is to go in the power of the Spirit of God with the Great Commission, the command of God, to go to the uttermost parts and preach the gospel, establish local churches with native believers. We can do that because we're pilots. And we can go to where the gospel has never been reached.
Pretty exciting. I always smile when I watch that video. So I'll just recap. You could see they talked about some of these in each of these in the video. But so there's kind of four main areas that Kingdom Air Corps operates in as it relates to aviation. First is the Native and foreign pilot and mechanic training. So not only pilots, missionary pilot and mechanics from here, from the Americas, but in many of the countries that they go to operate in. He mentioned Far East Russia, Burma, Thailand. They're working on getting some planes into India as well. So they work in those places and they train pilot mechanics in those nations so that it's important to have that multiplying type of effect going on so that the influence doesn't end when a particular individual has to leave or gets kicked out of the country or gets killed or something like that. So that's one area. They also have a camp. He didn't speak to it, but they have a youth camp for Alaskan natives up above the Arctic Circle. It's called Brooks Range Bible Camp. And so there's 2 weeks of camp. One is for younger kids, like, I forget how low it goes, maybe, you know, elementary school up to early teens, and then one for older teens up to 18, 19, something like that. So, and then, of course, the preparing and rebuilding of these donated airplanes to put back into missionary service. That's kind of the four main areas that they work in on airplanes. So my plans, what my part will be up there, I've already started mechanical training on airplanes where I work now, so I'll be continuing that training up in Alaska. That's mostly going to be my focus. I'll be working in the hangar, working to build up these airplanes. It should be very interesting because with old airplanes, something has to be fixed all the time. So it should keep me very busy, but I'm also going to begin flight training while up there. So I'll be working to get my pilot and mechanical certification while up there. So I'll be heading up there in the middle of May, and plans are to return in around October of this year and then return for several summers until I can complete all the training. After that, there's a lot of question marks. I'm not exactly sure what or where, but I will be seeking to serve in a full-time capacity as a pilot mechanic somewhere. I'm not sure, like I said, that could be somewhere in Alaska, it could be somewhere overseas, I'm not sure. So there are a lot of organizations that do missionary aviation. There's Missionary Aviation Fellowship, there's AIM Air, Africa Inland Mission, JARS is a big one, probably a lot have heard about that. But the reason I chose Kingdom Air Corps, the top reason was probably that it is a hands-on program in realistic environments. So the slogan they have up there is a little different than the one they have on their website. I guess it has many forms. So what's on their website, as the slogan is, preparing missionary pilots and mechanics in real-world environments. So it is very real-world. I've heard some people say if you can fly in Alaska, you can fly anywhere because of the just the type of land features you have there, the type of things you're going to encounter there. It's realistic from the types of airplanes that we'll be flying and working on. These are typical aircraft that you'll encounter in this type of bush pioneer aviation operations. So typical aircraft, typical barriers and difficulties of a missionary setting for aviation. So communication can be difficult being in such a remote location. Limited or delayed access to parts, equipment, services that you need to get keep the airplanes maintained and taken care of. So the land features, as I mentioned, land features, mountains, bodies of water, poorly constructed runways, or sometimes just very, very used runways. So a lot of different conditions there. But probably the favorite thing of it being a realistic environment is the opportunity to already begin learning how to minister cross-culturally to the natives of many of these villages around in Alaska. So there are Russian communities, there are Athabascan communities, Inuit communities, in these areas that will be able to, and the students that come up there will be able to already start learning how to minister cross-culturally, learning how to evangelize and disciple in those cultures. So that's a very real life, all those things are regularly encountered in this mode of service. So the second reason is because it's a very holistic approach to the missionary aviation field. There's a lot of organizations that do aviation as sort of a ferry service for missionaries and supplies, and that's a wonderful ministry, and there's nothing wrong with that. Kingdom Air Corps is a little different, and Dwayne will tell you the reason is The reason that we're not a missionary ferry service is because there aren't any missionaries for us to fly in the areas that Kingdom Air Corps operates in primarily. So the pilot also has to fill the role of mechanic, does the work of an evangelist, and discipling in the communities, and even to the point of establishing those local churches, arranging church leadership. So it's very, they focus very much on the spiritual preparedness aspect, not only, probably more than they focus on the airplane aspects. So it's a holistic approach. It's taught by some seasoned aviators and servants of God, some of them very well seasoned. So, but they're oldies but goodies. Let's just say that, you know. Okay, so that took a minute, but everybody gets what I'm saying. So, most importantly, though, and I would love to tell you, time does not permit, but I would love to give you the kind of the rundown so far of how God has opened up the doors and led me to this, to the point where He's just arranged the circumstances and the jobs that I've had and the opportunities that I've had, even through people here at the chapel, to a point where it seems very clear that He's inviting me to serve with this particular organization. So that's probably the biggest reason that I chose Kingdom Air Corps. Prayer is what I need. That is the most important thing you could do for me if you'd like to just support me in this endeavor. So I have a few prayer items that I'd like you to specifically think of if you want to write these down. They may seem kind of basic, but these are the biggest ones. So, humility. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And I know that in order to be an effective servant for Christ and to maintain a walk of dependence on God, humility is what I need. It's often easy when you're put in a situation where things are new and exciting to get, you know, pumped up and think that you can take on the world. So humility, personal holiness and integrity. Couldn't decide which word best described what I'm asking for here, so I put personal holiness, integrity, diligence, motivation, because the truth is, I'm very, it's very easy for me to do visible service, and if it's something where I'm in a group or working in a public setting, it's very easy for me to fill that role. But when I get on my own and have to be self-motivated, that level of motivation is very apt to tank for me. So I really need that motivation, okay? And only the Lord can provide that kind of drive that I need. And kind of to encapsulate all that, I need just a deeper and increasing fear of the Lord and knowledge of God and dependence on God. So those are the key prayer items. Obviously, you know, safety. But safety can be down towards the bottom of the list, and that's just because it's not the most important thing, okay? Sometimes, as we all know, the Lord uses that danger or uses that pain, suffering, fear to drive us to Him and to make us rely more fully on Him. So pray for those things. But there will be a lot of traveling, a lot of flying, a lot of driving. So as you pray for those things, please remember, and let me just encourage you in this. I was telling Mark and Ronnie earlier today that I know everyone here knows this, so I'm not, if I can just say this for, if for nothing else than to show you and help you see that I recognize that I'm not somebody extraordinary here, but if when I head up to Alaska, and because I would do this if I were, you know, I see missionaries go off to do things, and I see people begin serving in areas like this, and I'm like, wow, you know, look at them, they're being a missionary. Wow, they're really, you know, they're really on it for the Lord. Please just, you know, be careful about that. Please don't be like, you know, look at Ezra, he's a missionary, you know. And the reason I say that is, and this is how I want to encourage and challenge you tonight. The reason I say that is because God's global mission of his global purpose of making his glory known to the nations by reconciling sinners to himself, the holy God. That purpose doesn't change based on anything, but especially based on location, based on the mode of service to him. So there's not, just keep this perspective that there's not, you know, two different kinds of the disciples of Christ, the disciples that really love him and really care about him, and those are the ones that go to some far-off place. And then there's all the disciples that don't really care, and so they just stay here. You know, that's not how it works. A disciple of Christ is, as International Mission Board President David Platt, he said, the heart of Christ wants the world for Christ. We have the Spirit of Christ in us as believers. So we can all work towards that goal. This is why Paul said, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And the reason he uses those things are because those are the smallest, most basic necessities of our everyday life. So I could say, whether you fly or drive or ride your lawnmower or your bike, or if you just walk, do it all to the glory of God. So these are all just means to the same purpose. So please remember that when you pray for me. I'm nobody extraordinary. My purpose is the same, whether I'm here, whether I'm there. Obviously, the Lord will take us in different paths, but we're all working towards that same goal. So pray like you would if I lived next door, I guess is kind of what I'm saying. So don't underestimate and don't neglect your role in that global purpose that God's given to all of us. If you heard the song "The Mission" by Steve Green, it said, "Across the street or around the world, the mission's still the same. Proclaim and live the truth in Jesus' name." So that's kind of what I want to leave you with tonight. Like I said, I know we all know that, but good things bear repeating. You know? Paul said, I've told you once and I'll tell you again, it's not an old commandment, but it's not a new commandment, it's an old commandment, but it bears repeating. So one thing I don't mean to be harping on this, but it's been just kind of heavy on my mind as I've thought about this, because I really had a struggle thinking about, you know, do I stay here? Because God did not tell me to go to Alaska, and in fact, I'm confident that I would be in his will whether I stayed here or whether I went to Alaska. So I just have this thought process going on, and I was reading the biography of one of the missionaries with Kingdom Air Corps, and the author said that people like this fellow and Nate Saint and other pilots, because that's the focus of this organization, said people like that learned how to take, or they learned that the everyday tasks of wilderness survival could be translated and transformed from time-consuming barriers to ministry into ministry itself. And the author's comment was, if that makes life an act of worship, and if that doesn't glorify God, I don't know what does. So just remember that. Keep focusing on the Lord, and keep focusing on that purpose for each individual. But that's just a little bit about Kingdom Air Corps, a little bit about what I'll be doing up there. And if you'd like, I'm going to be sending out an email, the first email, just to kind of communicate a few more details about the organization. So I'm going to leave this pad up here. So if you'd like to put your email address down, you can do that, and I'll send out some information. Does anybody have any questions? Anything they'd like to know about the organization? Or yes, we do. There's one in particular that was donated, a $300,000 airplane that was donated by a man who wanted to sell it. He's not even a believer, but he donated it so he could get a tax write-off. So just one of the ways the Lord's work. But yes, pontoon airplanes, airplanes with skis on them. Yeah. Oh, funny thing there. I don't know. I don't know about that one. Yeah. there are other things that motivate. But any other questions? Okay. Well, Joe. So that's another thing that's kind of difficult to explain. But there will be people going. I will be getting up there, and doing this program with other people. Most of the people who go up there already have like a basic, like a lot of them have their mechanical certificate, and they're working to build experience, or they have their pilot's license and they're working to add ratings or build experience. So I don't know if there's anyone who will be as low on the totem pole as I am, but there are people that are starting into it at the same time. And as to how long it runs, it's typically June through September is the summer portion of the training. I'm getting there a little bit earlier and staying a little bit later in order to just make the most of my experience, try to, you know, catch up a little bit, I guess. So if that answers your question. Yeah. Right, okay. The first part I can answer. The second half I'm not quite so sure about. There may be some more information on their website. It actually was founded in 99. It was founded by Dwayne King, the man you heard talking there, the older gentleman, about the well-seasoned gentleman, about operations. So, but he was already serving in aviation and working to train pilots for many years before that. He retired from his missionary position to begin Kingdom Air Corps. It officially started in 99, but one of their first main things that they did actually started in 91, just after the Iron Curtain and the Ice Curtains came down. They made a flight into Far East Russia. They were one of the first missionary flights in there, so it has been going. But the training facility really started in 99. So yes, they do have some. Yeah, so they do have housing. they have some little quaint cabins that are set there along the runway and all that kind of thing. I'll probably be in the room that's tacked onto the hangar so I can be right there next to the airplane. That's where I was when I visited before. They do have a lodge, and they have a hangar, and that's right there on the airstrip. And then I don't know how much space they have as far as, I think they told me they'll have generally 18 or 20 people there at a time. But yes, I will be living on site there, and they do provide meals and all that. So. Money? Yes, so they ask, it's an all-volunteer operation, okay, and it's a nonprofit operation, as Joe Gerwig mentioned in that video, that so they do not actually have a set charge, but the living expenses are about $400 a month is what they ask that the, let me phrase that a little different. They suggest that the students that come help to cover their expenses for food, housing, utilities, and the fuel burnt during the flight training operations. So it's about $400 a month for food and housing. And then the flight training fluctuates a lot because it depends what kind of airplane you're in and how much you're flying. Since I'll be mostly working in the hangar and less in the air, it's going to be, I'm not 100% sure about that, but the first level of airplane that I'll be in, just to give you an idea, it's about $35 an hour in fuel. So. Good question. Yes, okay. So, in Alaska and in many of the places that they work, okay, having an airplane is like having a car or having a pickup truck because you really can't get anywhere. You can take a boat, a dog sled, a snowmobile, or an airplane. Yeah, and so airplanes are it's a much different dynamic there and in many of these places where. Right. Right. And there, you know, there's a lot of places where there are roads, but say someone needs a medical evacuation. You know, you can go in there, pick somebody up and quickly move them. Or just larger cargo operations, things like that. Yeah, good question. Yeah. Yes, and I'll be sending out a little more information on this in an email if anybody's interested. But you can send a check to Kingdom Air Corps. Just make it out to Kingdom Air Corps. And if you want to specifically support my training, just send, they say to send a sticky note or a note included and not write on the memo line, but just to include a note that says that on there for Ezra or something like that. But yeah, that's. They also have some online giving options. Okay, yeah, yeah. I wasn't doing a good job answering that question, so he just. Yeah. No, so but they do have some online ways to do it as well. So. All right, well, there aren't any more questions. I'll, Larry, can you close us in prayer? Would you do that?